Welcome to Not That Girl Anymore, part of the Liminal Network. I'm your host, Dawn Bouillon. This is more than a podcast. It's a sisterhood. We're reclaiming our voices, our worth, and our lives, one story, one truth, one brave step at a time. Hey, friends. Welcome back to Not That Girl Anymore. I'm your host, Dawn Bouillon, a trauma therapist and coach and the founder of Embrace Your Brave. And we've got a familiar voice with us today. Dottie is back. If you will remember, Dottie was the one asking me questions the other day and helping me share my story. But today it's her turn. She's the one sitting in the chair. So I'm so honored to have her with us today, sharing some of her story with us. And Dottie will be joining me at Embrace Your Brave as a certified integrative somatic practitioner. And she's been walking through her own healing journey with so much courage and so much depth and so much speed, is what I'll say. And I'm so excited about all that she's bringing to this work and to this community. So you are going to love hearing from her. So Dottie, welcome. I'm so glad you're
here.
Oh, man. So let's dive in. Can you give us a snapshot of what life looked like before you sought your healing or your therapy?
Wow, that is such a huge question. You know, before I began therapy, I just felt broken. Like I was broken inside. Mm-hmm. And I didn't know if I knew I was broken and was just too afraid to admit it, or mm-hmm. if I didn't know that I was broken. I mean, it was just this such a disconnect from myself that, you know, I felt so very much alone. I felt really invisible, you know.
Okay.
And so have you ever seen the movie Groundhog's Day?
I have seen that, yes.
So that's what it felt like. It felt like I was living the same day over and over again, and really not seeing any results. I would get up every morning, I would put my happy face on, and I would go off.
Same thing all over again.
Let's perform. Let's be what everybody wanted me to be. Let's say what everybody wanted me to say. I just kind of was people pleasing my way through life. And wow. I felt like I was on this hamster wheel. I was running and getting nowhere. And I was a chronic planner because I was so afraid of feeling alone. I was so afraid of feeling abandonment that I would plan my days and my weeks and my weekends out just to make sure I wasn't alone. And, you know, I realized that this came from my childhood, you know, because as a child, I felt so rejected and abandoned. And I grew up in a home where you use the word performance. That's exactly what it was. Performance in our household equaled love. You know, if I was good enough, if I obeyed and I did everything that I was supposed to do and I made good grades, then that was love.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. So it is all about performing and just looking good, looking, doing the right thing.
Yes. You know, my mom, she was such a complicated woman. And, you know, she battled her own mental illnesses, but she had such this need for control. And she wanted to control all my life and my siblings' lives. And, you know, our household revolved around her moods. So we were always trying to keep mama happy. And if mama was happy, then everybody was happy. But if mama wasn't happy, then the household was really kind of chaotic.
And the way to keep mama happy was performing well.
Performing well. That's right. We all learned to present this polished version of ourselves. You know, that's what I did. So as I grew up, I continued to do that. I continued to live behind the facade because I had to look perfect. And I had to be perfect. I felt like I had to perform to feel valued,
Wow.
to feel seen, to feel heard. And
I'm feeling like the pressure of that just even as you're talking, like as a little girl, just like, ah, we got to make sure, that mom's okay so that we can not have things blow up around here.
That's right. We were always trying to keep things no conflict. We didn't, for me, I didn't ask questions. If I did ask a question, the answer was always do as I say or because I said so. There was no real answer to the question. So I just grew up like, well, just listen to everything my mom says, and it's all right. It must be all right. She's my mom.
Oh, wow. Yeah, that sounds really confusing and lonely.
Super, super confusing, super lonely. And I just, as a child began disconnecting from myself. And just my whole life was lived pretty much in disconnect. Because I had no idea who I was or what I wanted or, what I liked. In our household, we weren't allowed to feel any negative emotions. All of that was suppressed because, that wasn't perfect. If we expressed any kind of what would be considered a negative emotion, we were met with, suck that up or rub some dirt on it or stop crying or I'll give you something to cry about. So, enough
Wow.
with all of those conditionings, I brought that into my adulthood. As an adult, I had no time for self-care. I didn't know what that was. I was exhausted. I was unfulfilled. So really, before therapy, I wasn't living my life. I was really just managing it.
Okay. Yeah. Wow. And that seems like that makes sense in your story. What, like, was there something that got you into therapy or got your ass on the couch? Is what I usually say.
There was, there was definitely a breaking point. I just felt like a lot of my relationships, friendships weren't really serving me. I felt like they were one-sided, and that I was putting in most of the effort and not receiving any effort back. I had a falling out with a really good friend, and I thought, the issue was something very simple and would be something that we could talk about and get over. But whatever, the thing was, it triggered her in a way that she didn't even want to engage in the relationship anymore. And for me, being a people pleaser, I had to fix this. Like, I must
Yeah.
fix this. And nothing I could do would, everything I did or said made it worse. And that kind of was the straw that broke the camel's back for me. But, it was a lot of that and just not feeling fulfilled in relationships. I was completely exhausted from over planning. I didn't know how to say no. I said yes to everything, even though my body was telling me you're too tired or you should stay home, or I would still go. And after this incident, I just knew, I knew something was wrong. I knew something was broken. I do want to say, though, the friend, she's a very beautiful person, and we have since reconciled.
Have you thanked her for getting you on the couch?
Yeah, we actually, we've talked about it. We've talked about how this incident really helped both of us,
That's great.
start our own healing journeys. But
Yeah, as
it was
you.
my daughter, really, who was like, Mom, there's something going on with you. You're not getting yourself out of it. She said, I think you may need to seek professional help. And I was like, wait, what? I have to go see a therapist?
Way to go, daughter. She was
Yeah,
concerned about you.
she did. And so, I made the appointment, and that was the first brave step I took, girl.
I feel like I remember some of that first day. What was that first day like showing up to the office?
Oh, well, like It took so much just booking the appointment, and
Absolutely.
then after I booked it, I'd have some good days and I would be like, oh, I'm going to cancel this. I don't need therapy. And then the next
I'm
day would
good.
be, it would really be bad. I'm like, no, I better keep this appointment. So I kind of went back and forth with that. And then even sitting in the lobby waiting to get called back, I was like, it's not too late to run, Dot. You can run. But I knew deep down inside that I needed to stay. So you called me back, and when I went into your office, the first thing I saw was this sign that said, "You matter." And that kind of, started putting me at ease, because
Okay.
I was so nervous. I mean, I'm going to be vulnerable, and I didn't know what to say. I know I was a blubbering idiot sitting on your couch. And really, I was fearing like judgment, like you were going to judge me, like you're stupid. Why are you so nervous? Which is probably every client, but
This is a judgment-free zone. You're okay here.
right. But I didn't feel that judgment. I didn't feel like I was in a clinical office, and I was met with compassion. You weren't trying to fix me. And that first therapy session, you just held space for me. And that's something I had never really experienced before.
Wow.
Because you were just holding that space for me and just giving me time to express myself, I felt seen and I felt heard and I felt like I mattered, and not for what I could do. Like, I wasn't performing for you. Like, I had no a pony in that show. I felt like I mattered, and just simply by being myself. And that alone was super powerful.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's so awesome. And you just reminded me, the bravery it takes to ask for help and to actually show up and open yourself up, and I'm still just so proud of you, for taking that, really brave step. It's hard. It's really hard. And some people never take it, Dottie. And especially at your age, I just want you to know how proud I am of you and what an inspiration you are, that it's never too late to take your life back,
Thank you. Yes. Thank you.
What surprised you, I guess, the most about your therapy experience?
Well, I really went into therapy expecting just to get some coping skills, maybe give me some exercises to help me manage life better. And I was so convinced that I'd only need three sessions. It was three. That was the magic number. I was going to only need three. And then I was going to be fine. I was going to have everything I needed, and I was just going to be able to go out and be a normal person in life. And those three boxes. But after the third session, honestly, my life exploded. And
Nice.
thank you. Yeah, thank you for that. I kind of like to think of it like this. So you have this garden, and in your garden you have planted some flowers and some bushes and some shrubs and some trees. Well, that whole garden exploded, and everything, all the flowers and trees and bushes were just all laying on the ground. And
Interesting.
I was tasked with picking up each flower and each bush and each tree and analyzing it and deciding whether it's something I wanted to plant back. So that's
Wow.
what it felt like. Putting my life back together was replanting the garden, but replanting it in a way that honored me. And in a
Wow.
way that, yes, in a way that it honored what I liked, what I wanted, you know, what I wanted out of life. I was finally, and after analyzing each piece, I was beginning to feel again. And I was beginning to name how I felt. You know, one of the first exercises we did when I was in therapy was you handed me this feelings wheel. And you remember the
That you
feelings
love.
wheel because you know I have a love-hate relationship with the feelings wheel, but it's a colorful wheel and it has, I don't know, 70 plus emotions on it. And you handed me the feelings wheel and you said, "Tell me how you're feeling right now." And I wanted to just be like, "You the crazy one, girl," because you handed me 75 feelings.
No,
And I
no
don't,
pressure, not
no pressure.
overwhelming.
I like, I don't know. But I saw, you know, there was overwhelmed on it twice. So, I had to, I was performing a little at first. Overwhelmed. That's how I feel. You know, but as I'm putting my garden back together, I'm really being able to feel like, is this thing in my life, is this person in my life serving me? Or isn't? If it's not, it doesn't get replanted. You know, and that's kind of how I started putting the puzzle pieces back together, really.
I have to say, you were like one of my favorite clients because you came with your notebook and you had all your notes, and you were just like a freaking sponge that was just like wanting to understand so much about yourself and like collecting those dots so we could connect those dots for you. But you were just like drinking it in. It's like the ideal client that genuinely wants to apply what you're learning to your life because you're so tired of living that other way, you know?
That's exactly right, you know, and I knew, like I said, I knew it was something I was going to have to go through. And I was determined to get to the other side, whatever that took. And, you know, there are just parts of my story. I can remember telling you something that I had never told anyone before. Maybe my daughter, she might have been the only one I had told before. And, you know, it was really a coping mechanism that is, I think is probably pretty rare. And I'm like, I'm gonna tell her this because I just need to get this off my shoulders. And I was expecting you to tell me, "Yeah, girl, you really need to be institutionalized." You know, that's pretty strange. And, you know, I was bracing myself for you to confirm my worst fear that I really needed psychiatry or something like that. But you instead, you said, "Wow, that's beautiful." And I was like, "Okay, that's beautiful." And you said, "Yes." You said, "You know, that's your story, Dot. And you make sense in that story." And I started realizing I could have a story and I don't have to be ashamed of it, you know, because my story was all about survival. It's how am I going to survive all of these negative thoughts, thought patterns, all of this conditioning that I had grown up with. And I chose this mechanism. I chose this coping mechanism and you normalized it for me. Like, you're not, this is how you survived, you know, and what a beautiful way to survive. And then that kind of took the shame out of it. Like, I don't have to be ashamed of this, you know. So man, it was so many things, and just putting my
If
life
you
back together.
like just to speak to that, like if you think about how brave that little girl was to survive, you know? Like, I'm so thankful that she did whatever it took to survive and how brilliant it is to figure that out. So yeah, it's what you had to do to survive.
Yes, that's what I had to do. And, you know, as I started feeling all of these emotions, I learned that they were all good emotions. There were no bad ones. that you grow up thinking there's bad emotions, anger and jealousy and frustration and sadness, and those are negative or bad. But what I learned is that they're all messengers. They're all trying to tell me something. They're all trying to tell me, girl, this part of your life is on fire. Let's find a way to put this fire out. Instead, we learn to suppress that. Now I sit with my emotions, I partner with them, and I let them tell me what they need to tell me.
It sounds like, I mean, I just hear the language that you use. It just sounds like you've really grasped what your journey has been and what you've done. Like you're kind of putting language to your healing process in just a beautiful way. It's cool to see that.
Yep, I found the words. So now the garden is back together, and it's beautiful.
Aw, I love that. So what would you say, how has it changed your relationships?
So bit by bit, going through therapy, that mask I was wearing, it began to fall, and I really began to discover who I was underneath all of the conditioning, underneath all of what I was told I should be, and those things. And I started understanding what I liked and what I valued. And really, I stopped making myself small and just agreeing with everyone just to keep the peace. I started honoring my own truth. And it's not easy. None of it was easy. I began having some very real hard conversations with people. I stopped chasing relationships and I stopped clinging to people, especially that weren't mutual, where the relationship wasn't mutual. And I started letting people meet me where I was. And when they couldn't or wouldn't, I stopped making that my fault. Yeah, that's huge, because I
That
blame
is.
myself for everything. If something
Yeah.
went wrong, it must be I must have done something wrong. So,
Wow.
yeah.
Were there any like moments that just kind of stand out to you when you think about your healing process? Was there anything that just kind of was like a breakthrough moment for you?
I guess the one that stands out the most would be we did a art session, which is accelerated resolution therapy.
Yes,
And
it
that's
is.
when you introduced me to the idea of the inner child and doing inner child work. Because a lot of my issues, I won't say a lot, I'll say all of my issues stemmed from childhood,
Absolutely.
And I think we don't realize how much our upbringings affect who we become and, how we interact with the world
Yeah.
as we
And
grow.
the whole purpose of art therapy is reconnecting with your little girl, reconnecting with her, rescuing her, and then reparenting her and re-scripting some of those memories that you have and bringing her home.
And that's exactly what we did. And through the process, we went back to my childhood home. And what I found there was my little, probably I'd say 8 or 9 year old self, sitting in her bedroom, just frozen in time, still waiting, for that love, and still waiting to be seen, and still waiting to be valued, and still waiting to be supported. She was still there, and through the process, I was able to hug her and validate her and to tell her how proud I was of her and how much of a cool kid she was. and how kind
No.
she was, you know, and how loving she was and talented she was, you know. I was able to tell her that.
Wow, that is powerful, Dal.
Oh, it was so beautiful. Yeah, you know, just even thinking about it right now kind of, oh, it makes me tear up, you know, because she was just really wanting to be seen and to be
Absolutely.
heard.
That's right.
But
And to be seen and heard by you.
yes, and it was such a beautiful moment because I was able to tell her all of these things. And you know, during the session, we asked her, "What do you want? What do you want, little Dot?" And little Dot wanted to leave the home. She wanted to finally leave the bedroom and finally leave the childhood home. And I remember like taking her hand, but in real life, I had clenched my fist so tight because I was holding her hand so tight because we were finally going to walk out of the childhood home and just leave all of that behind, you know. And it was both terrifying and one of the most liberating moments,
Wow.
you know. And it that moment like broke something in me because I had been so stuck in those old survival patterns, and I just felt like I had began making peace with my past. And you know, I just began honoring all the little dots along the way, you know,
No, I
from dot
love
to
that.
dot to dot to dot, and we got to bring them all home. So that was a breakthrough moment for me, was meeting her and just loving on her.
Wow, Dottie, that is so special. And I mean, I'm telling you, when I do this type of work with people, it almost feels like a miracle, like right in front of my eyes. Like when I see people reconnect with their little girl, and like, when I have you hug them and the tears just start like streaming down your face, it's just like this most powerful, beautiful, magical moment. You're together forever now, right? You bring her with you and she has you and you have her, and as you heal that little girl, you're healing you, like now, today, in the present. And so we're not walking around fragmented, but we're more whole, and leading your life and leading her with you wherever you go. It's so cool. I love
Yeah.
it.
Yes. Beautiful. It's a beautiful moment. Definitely a breakthrough moment for me.
Wow. Oh man, it's so cool to hear you share that story. So, the name of our podcast is Not That Girl Anymore. So when you hear that, what does that mean to you?
Well, I mean, honestly, through this process, I found the greatest gift of all, and I found myself. So, you know, that girl, I'm no longer trying to earn love, and I no longer get my value from what other people think of me. So I can show up fully and unapologetically, and you know, I'm not managing my relationships anymore, you know, so I'm not that girl anymore.
I know you're about to preach, I think, aren't you?
What?
Start preaching, girl.
I'm preaching. Yeah, you know, I'm no longer afraid of being alone. In fact, I enjoy solitude now. I enjoy the stillness. It's so peaceful because I'm okay with me. You know, I love me now. So I can sit with myself and I don't have to avoid myself anymore. So I'm not that girl anymore.
I love that. That's so cool. So, Daddy, I can tell you've just like had a transformation. And I witnessed that, but just hearing you talk about it just reminds me again. And so I'm just curious, like, what is it that you wish other people knew about therapy or about healing?
Well, first, I want people to know that therapy is for everyone. We kind of think that therapy is just for really the mentally ill or those types of really deep depression and those types of things, but really it's for everyone. I'm an advocacy for it. I think it would do just about anyone some good. But I want anybody who feels that they're alone or that they're invisible, that they're stuck in life, or stuck in a life that's not serving them, that there is healing from that, and it's possible, but it's not easy. I don't want people to think it's easy because this was not, you got to be brave, with each step and with each growth, there was such a freedom and liberation that it's unexplainable, really.
And it's worth it.
It was so worth it. I mean, I feel like a different person. People on the outside probably see me the same, but inside is completely different. Now, I will say there's a lot of friends and coworkers who are like, I like the new Dot. And there are some who don't like the new Dot. But
What matters is if you like the new dot, right?
I love the new Dot because the new Dot is living her own life. She's taken the pen back and she's writing her own story now.
I love that. I love that analogy.
Yep,
B.
getting that pen back.
And we're not thinking small, we thinking big, right?
That's right. That's right.
So, and one of the things I love about the process too is like we're not just trying to heal. Healing is just the beginning. We want to thrive. We want to dream. We want to actually like live this thing. And so I think that's one of the coolest things is like to see how quickly you have put your brave on and jumped into like fun, exciting things. So what I'm curious about right now is what are you excited about in your life right now?
Well, I'm definitely excited about coming on board with Embrace Your Brave as an integrative somatic practitioner, and working with you, creating groups
Yes.
and
And okay, can you tell us a little bit more? Like, explain to us what that is, because I'm excited about it too.
Well, I guess the simple explanation would be, all aspects of our being, of ourself, our physical, our emotional, our spiritual, and our souls, they're all deeply interconnected. What affects one affects them all. So, we kind of grow up thinking that they're separate, that these are separate things, but really they all work in conjunction with each other. So, the goal as a somatic practitioner is to help people notice or help them discover like what their physical responses are inside of their body, because that's what somatic means, body. So what's their physical responses to like outside negativity or trauma or something that they may have experienced? So when they can pinpoint where it is in their body, we can help them release that anxiety, the tension, whatever it is they're feeling, we can help them release that from the body. And when you release that from the body, you help all your systems. You help your spiritual, your physical, your emotional systems when you can release all of the negative emotions and that kind of stuff.
You know what's so cool, Dottie, is I've always wanted to bring that aspect into what when I'm helping people heal, I want them to heal like holistically. I want them to heal and reconnecting to your body as part of that healing. And so I'm so excited about what you're going to bring to that experience for people. And I love seeing your excitement about that. I mean, it is so cool, Dottie, to just see your life transformed and to know we're stepping into like the fun part, the part where we just get to choose what we want this to look like. We get to create the life that we want to live. And like, with that freedom and that joy and that hope. And like it's so exciting to watch you fly and soar. And it's super exciting that we get to do some of that together.
And I just want to thank you and all of the therapists and coaches who hold space for people just like me to heal. I mean, I have such a respect for you and this profession. My own transformation. I just want other people who are stuck, who feel like they're on the hamster wheel. I want them to get the same healing that I got. And that's one of the reasons why I became a somatic practitioner and, plan on doing other modalities as well. But yeah, I have to give it away. It's such a wonderful feeling, such liberation. I have to give it away. So
Oh, I love
thank
that.
you. Thank
And
you.
thank you. And I can so relate to that. When you experience it, you're like, I want everyone to experience this. I want everyone to heal because you believe that they can. You know, it's like, if I can heal, then you can heal, baby. Like, and you're worth it, you know? So thank you so much, Dottie, for sharing your story with us today. You're just reminding us again, like, that healing is possible and it's sacred. Like, just to hear you talk about your story with just the gentleness that you do, like the sacred work of reconnecting to yourself. You're just reminding me. Thank you for that. And that reminder to all of our people out there that are wondering, can they heal? And it's like a resounding yes, you can, and you're worth it, and you're worth whatever it takes for you to heal. So, thank you guys so much for being with us today. And Dottie, thanks again for sharing your story with us. Remember, your story matters, your voice matters, your dreams matter, you matter, and you're not that girl anymore.
Hey, friend, just a quick note. I am a licensed therapist, but this podcast isn't therapy. It's not meant to diagnose or treat anything. It's here to offer you support, encouragement, and real conversation. If you're struggling, please reach out to a trusted professional. You are not alone, and you are so worthy of healing. Even if your voice shakes, keep using it. Your healing matters. If you're ready to go deeper, you can book a session by clicking the link in the show notes or visiting our website, embraceyourbrave.org, to learn more about our therapy and trauma-informed coaching options. Let's explore how we can walk this journey together. You are not alone. Embrace your brave, sis. You're not that girl anymore.